Let's look to the Lord and ask his blessing upon us tonight as we consider this portion of God's word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight because you're the only God there is. You're the one true living God who made us and all things, whose glory fills the vast expanse of time and eternity. You're the one who holds the stars in their place and knows them each by name. And you know each one of us intimately. You know every hair on our head. You know our thoughts before we think them and our words before we say them. You are the one who ordained the day of our birth. And you know how many days we have left before we stand before the face of God. We thank you that you are a God of grace and that you revealed yourself as a God of love. You've also revealed yourself as a God who's holy and just, and that you cannot tolerate evil and sin forever. Thank you that you sent your Son to take the sins of your people upon his shoulders, the sins of all those who would look in faith to Christ. And so, Lord, we pray tonight that you would open our eyes to see more of your grace and love, that we might see more of who you are and what you've called us to be, that we might see the world more clearly. Come and visit us tonight in this place. Thank you for each one here, for the families gathered here. Thank you for the opportunity to be together during the holidays. Thank you for putting us in such a beautiful part of the world. Pray that you would honor, Lord, this time now that we've set apart to consider what you have said in your word. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. I saw in a religious survey not long ago that 68% of Americans believe in angels. 68% of the people at least polled in this poll. But the shocker of that report to those who sponsored it, is that 55 of the respondents responded positively or checked yes to the box which read, "I was once protected from harm by a guardian angel." 55%. More than half of the people surveyed in this survey, a group of that crossed socioeconomic boundaries all across the country, said that, "I believe I've been miraculously protected by an angel at some point in my life." From Scripture's point of view, angels are given by God to protect you in your daily activity. That's true. Psalm 91 says that. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. But angels are nothing like what's portrayed in children's cartoons or in most Hollywood films. In the Bible, angels are portrayed as messengers from God. They are spiritual beings that can appear in the human world, and most often, if they did, at least in the period of biblical revelation, they came as messengers of judgment. In the Scriptures, angels are depicted as praising God in heaven. Over and over, we see that in the book of Revelation. They will be there on judgment day with the trumpet call of God. So Jesus said himself, they rejoice in heaven over the turning of even one person who looks in faith for forgiveness, which means they're praising God all the time. They're pure and holy, but they're not to be worshipped. And they do the Lord's bidding. Jesus said that they could have come, remember, with a legion of angels. When Peter took that swing of the sword there in the Garden of Gethsemane to defend Jesus, remember what Jesus said, "Put away that sword, Peter. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will have at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" They're ministering spirits, the Scripture says, sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. That means you, if tonight you trust in Christ as your Savior. Angels are there behind the veil, serving and protecting and ministering to you as they were with Jesus in the desert during his temptation. Angels are sometimes entertained by people on earth, and we don't even realize that's what Hebrews 13 says. So we shouldn't neglect hospitality to a stranger. It could be an angel. But this here that we find in the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2 at Bethlehem, this was an angel visitation like no other. This angel came to visit shepherds, and then this angel was followed up by an army of angels. This remarkable visit of angels didn't come to the high and mighty, didn't come to the politicians of the day, didn't come to the powerful or influential, nor to the religious leaders. These angels didn't come to the movers and shakers of the day. No, these angels came to visit shepherds. Shepherds. Shepherds in Jesus' day were not special, though God thought they were special. They were very low on the social scale. I don't even want to make a comparison because I don't want to offend anybody here. They were the lowest person you can imagine on the socioeconomic scale, at least for employment in your community. That was the shepherds. They're very low. They were hardworking men. They worked a thankless job into the wee hours of the night. I'd like to pick apart this familiar story with you tonight and see what God has for us from it to encourage you this Christmas. The Word of God says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, that is, to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear, or they were terrified, as some versions say. So, why were they terrified at an angel? I mean, if someone said to you, you know what, I think there was an angel last night. Just as I almost hit that car, I really think I saw an angel. You'd say, wow, that's cool. These shepherds were terrified. Ever thought of that? Why were they terrified? Well, it was dark, and this was bright. And if you've ever been out late at night, even the least little thing can startle you, right? The least little noise or movement that you're not expecting. And the text says that the glory of the Lord of heaven shone around them, piercing the darkness all of a sudden. Well, of course they were afraid. And they were preoccupied at the moment with something else. They were minding their own business. They weren't expecting this. Something startling can make you jump even in broad daylight. And it was night. And furthermore, as I mentioned, angels usually brought judgment. Psalm 98 speaks about destroying angels. These shepherds knew Psalm 98. Genesis 19, two angels came and warned about the pending destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. These shepherds were Jewish shepherds. They knew about that. Isaiah 37, the angel of the Lord struck down 185,000 Assyrians. So when an angel appears to you in the middle of the night, and you're a Jewish shepherd in the first century, you're not going to be thinking this is cool. So their brains went from shock to recognition that this was an angel, and the brightness of the Shekinah glory cloud, that the living God, presence of the glory of God shone around them, and they probably thought they were in big trouble. As my grandmother used to read from the King James Version, they were sore afraid. Kids, I think their hearts were pounding out of their chests. And they took a really big gulp. I bet their eyes were as big as saucers. And they probably ducked behind something when they could barely breathe while their legs turned to jello. What does the angel say? First of all, there, verse 10. Don't be afraid. Fear not. I bring you good news that will bring or cause great joy for all the people. So the angel says, hold on, wait, calm down. I've got good news, not bad news. You don't have to be afraid. Nothing bad is going to happen. Actually, it's something wonderful. This is a message of great joy for everyone, everywhere, and here's why. See what the text says there in verse 11? Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is Christ, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So these angels, this particular one at first, came with an announcement because they knew firsthand what was happening in Bethlehem. They knew the meaning of it. This angel had known the Prince of Peace in glory. And the angels that just were about to fill the sky were marveling that the King of Glory had taken on human flesh. In fact, I think we can surmise that if these angels come from God in heaven, that they had not long before that seen the Son of God in all of his brilliant glory before he took on human flesh. And now he's placed in rags in a feeding trough. That's what a manger is. A new day was dawning on the face of the earth. You see, the one that God had promised all through the Old Testament, all of the Old Testament is leading up to this. The long-awaited Messiah, the anointed one, the promised one, had finally arrived. The Savior you shepherds have been waiting on. The reason those sheep you're watching all night, the reason those sheep are sacrificed in Jerusalem, the reason they're sacrificed, the one that they're foreshadowing is here. The one that those sheep being sacrificed on the altar in Jerusalem are preparing the way for, he has arrived. Maybe it's not so good for your job security in the long run because the temple's going to be destroyed 70 years from now. They don't tell them that. And it's happened just today, just down the road in Bethlehem. The waiting is over. A Savior has been born to you, Christ the Lord. A Savior has been born, Christ the Lord. Nowhere else in Scripture are all those three terms put together. A Savior, Christ, the Lord. You see, the angel knows who this one is. This is the Savior, the deliverer of God's people, the one that Moses was just a picture of. This is Christ, the long-awaited, anointed, promised Messiah. He's here, and he's the Lord. He's the Kurios. He's more than a human deliverer. He's the one with absolute sovereignty, the Lord. For our mindset, that doesn't say a whole lot, maybe. But for first century Jewish men, that's enormous. The Lord, the Messiah, the Savior is born. You'll find him, yes, all wrapped up in cloths and lying in a manger, in a feeding trough. Do you see the irony here from beginning to end? It's amazing. Jesus came to serve. Jesus didn't come expecting the world, you know, to open the doors with satin sheets. No, from beginning to end, he came to serve. He's born with animals and he dies with criminals. See what love the Father has for us. Then Luke writes here, the physician, the careful historian, who even begins his account in Luke chapter 1, saying he's carefully interviewed all the eyewitness accounts. He writes that all of a sudden, the sky opened up. Verse 13, suddenly a multitude, a great company of the heavenly host appeared. Suddenly. It's as if they were waiting for this first messenger to be done. Come on, come on, get it over. Come on, come on, come on. And then all these angels, this one angel was joined by all the others, and that one angel was still among them. But verse 13 says, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with them. An angelic entourage appeared. A heavenly army came, celebrating peace. Whenever the angelic host is mentioned in the Old Testament, it's in the context of a spiritual battle. Here, it's not battle that they're prepared for. It's victory. It's victory. They're praising God. Now, have you ever thought about what that must have sounded like? Have you ever thought about that to those shepherds? There have been on the internet, again, happens every Christmas, some of these flash mob gatherings of people who just, you know, one person starts singing or playing an instrument, and then another one joins in, and another one joins in. Maybe it's in a shopping mall food court or in a courtyard of a big museum, and then everybody else starts coming. It's all practice. They take off their coats, and you realize this was a planned thing, and they start singing the Hallelujah Chorus or some other Christmas song. They're marvelous. They're marvelous to watch. But this here in the shepherd's fields outside Bethlehem, just a few miles from Jerusalem, what they heard was in a league all its own. Not a single singer was off key, right? Angels are perfect. Not a single singer there was mixed with doubt or distraction. That so often happens with us. Did you hear me start playing a fourth verse of that first hymn? I was distracted. I was watching people coming in still. I didn't realize where we were. Not a single angel there was distracted. Not a hint of false motives in any of those voices. Not in one voice. They knew without a shadow of doubt what they were singing about. Not a one was out of sorts with another angel. Or thinking about the roast in the oven on time, bacon, are we going to get there in time? What those shepherds heard was singing the likes of which had never, ever been heard on earth before. And has never, ever been heard again. And we won't hear that until we reach heaven's shore. What a day that will be. But look and see what their song is all about there. Verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom he is pleased or upon whom his favor rests. Notice this. Glory and peace. Heaven and earth. God and man. This is a Hebrew parallelism. Glory and peace on earth. Heaven and earth. God and man. But the content of it, the highest degree of honor to God, is now here. This newborn babe would bring great glory to God in the highest measure that's ever possible. The most honor that could be given to God will be shown by this one here. This is the one born to do the Father's will. Always. This is the one born to save his people from their sins. This is the one who would bring peace to earth, what we need the most, peace with God. The enmity has been destroyed between, or the enmity that was between man and God has been destroyed. Peace with others, those walls that divide because of sinful attitudes. Peace of conscience, peace between Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, peace in families, peace in your own heart. Because death is destroyed and sin is dealt with. So as you read through this, you hear about the angels. What's with the angels? Why weren't there angels singing like that when you were born? Why are there so many of them? Why there? Why in Bethlehem? Well, because this is the biggest news ever. Now, I know every parent thinks their baby being born is the biggest news. And with Facebook and the internet, it's even magnified even more. But the greatest gift of grace to the human race came that night. The greatest gift to the human race. The gift of grace. God's kindness, mercy, love, and grace to the human race is seen best in that feeding trough where animals slobber. Yes, God provides so many things for us, so many gifts, right? Food, shelter, health, strength, clothing, your families, Florida sunshine and vacations, wonderful blessings. But this is the most important thing of all. Without this, food and shelter and clothing and health means so little. What will those things do for you on the day you die? What's this with the angels filling the sky and breaking into amazing song? Well, it's because the door to eternity is flung open wide. And God has given a priceless gift to the human race, something available to all. The most important thing we need in all the world is someone outside of ourselves to rescue us. He doesn't just point the way. He just doesn't just set an example. He opens wide the door by what he would do. By what he would do. You notice lastly, verse 15, how the shepherds react. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." Well, yeah, wouldn't you? How could they just go back to what they were doing after the sky had been filled with angels? I don't think that one of them said, "You know, I don't think I'll go. I'll just stay here." Of course they went. As we close tonight, think about this. The message of the angels is still a message to be received. "This message is for you," they said, and it's still today, 2,000 years later, for you, a Savior has been born to you and for you, who is Christ the Lord. You no longer have to wonder if you're good enough for God. You no longer have to wonder if you've done enough to make it. You no longer have to wonder if when you go to sleep at night or if you were to die tonight, would God accept me? No longer wondering. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Not good people. Sinners. And to save them completely, he died on a cross in our place. He rose again, conquering death and the grave. That's the good news. That's why these angels are singing, because of what this babe would do. They knew who this was. They knew that he was the Lord of glory, now taken on human flesh, and that God would keep his promise, that this one would take the sin of the world upon himself. That God would lay on him, as Isaiah had prophesied, the iniquity of us all. And by his stripes we'd be healed. He died on a cross in our place and rose again, conquering the grave. The angels announced this confidently because they knew it was true. The shepherds believed it and went. Well, do you believe this? Do you believe this? The message of the angels is still to be spread abroad. It's good news. That's what we're to tell others about. It's the greatest news, in fact, in all the world. And it's a message that changes people's lives. This message that Jesus died on the cross for sinners, that he came into the world to save sinners, rose again from the dead. This message is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes it. Everyone. Praise the Lord. This is wonderful news. And that's why we sing. That's why you can live confidently every day of your life, knowing Christ has done it all. So we say, praise be to God for the indescribable gift of his Son. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight with thanksgiving for your gift of grace in Jesus Christ. Thank you that your grace is greater than all of our sins. Thank you that you have flung open wide the door, and it's even available tonight to anyone here. Oh, Lord, have mercy. If there's any without faith, Lord, would you prepare them now for eternity? Open their heart. open their eyes to see and open their ears to hear and their heart to believe. Thank you for our great Savior. May we live even more faithfully because of his love for us. May we love you even more because you first loved us. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing us here in this place tonight. We pray for every family represented here that you would bless this season of joy and celebration together, of feasting. Lord, thank you for how you provide everything we need and even more. Our cup overflows with good things. We make our prayer in the name of our Savior who gave himself for us, is risen from the dead, and is seated even now in the heavenly realms preparing a place for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.